Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the In Doubt Show. Andrew here. Listen, we got a fantastic program today. It's going to be a little bit different, a little bit short and sweet, but also sad because Chris is not in second chair and we have no one in third chair. Boo, boo. You can insert boos here. But we do have Dr. John Neufeld with us. Dr. John, how are you doing today?
I am wonderful.
Awesome. Wonderful. This is airing on Easter Monday.
Yes.
Long weekend, and we got a chance to just walk through, you know, Holy Week. And just for those who are watching, we did an episode last year, Make Easter Great Again.
Oh.
And remember we talked about the significance yes. of, you know, we make such a big deal of Christmas and then Easter comes and it's just the Easter bunny, some chocolate, and, you know, we just kind of go through it very quickly. And so link in the description. That's what I'm supposed to say, right? Link in the description. Link in the description. And you can check out that episode from last Easter. It was an awesome conversation walking through Holy Week and just the significance of Easter. And so we're here. It's Easter Monday. And we're going to transition a little bit. I mean, obviously, Easter is such a significant part and the most, you know, foundational moment in our calendars. And our lives are changed forever. April is the beginning of our missions month. And so actually that reminds me as well. If you go to indoubt.ca, Marcus, you can put something somewhere, wherever you feel led. But there's a book that we can give you, a booklet we can give you for free for the month of April, Missions at Your Door. And so a great resource. There's a promo code at indoubt.ca. But as we're talking about missions today, I want to kind of keep it connected to Easter still, because in light of all we've been through, walking through Holy Week, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Resurrection Sunday, and now we have a day off to remember and reflect again all that God has done. This should be a big encouragement for us to be on mission, both locally, missions at our doorstep, our neighbors, and also across the world, global missions. And so just a couple questions for you. We're going to keep it short, and then we're going to enjoy the rest of our holiday if you're watching on Monday. But in what ways does the Easter story inspire and motivate believers to engage in missions locally and around the world?
Yeah, well, I guess the Easter story, as we all know, ultimately leads to mission. If it doesn't, it really wasn't that meaningful. Mm. Christ died for the sins of the world, not just for the sins of Israel. So if that is in fact true, that a door has been opened for all of the nations to come, and then if that, you know, that wonderful, glorious message of the cross never makes it to the nations, then you know, we've got the theology, but somehow we just never put that into practice. By the way, when you ask that question, I was just thinking about in John's gospel, he has this mention that he makes that, you know, during Passion Week, there were a group of Greeks that came to Andrew, and Andrew goes to Philip. You know, they have this conversation like, what are we going to do about these Greeks that want to see Jesus?
Mm.
And Jesus seems to receive them with this understanding that this is now the very hour that he's come was for this reason. Like they represent the world of the nations.
Wow.
Who now is not just Israel pressing in to find their Messiah. The nations as a whole are coming.
Yeah.
And so this, that theme already before the crucifixion obviously leads to the, you know, to the message of go into all the world and share the gospel, right?
Yeah, so good. What would you say to someone? You know, I've seen churches where missions is a big priority and believers are really excited about it, and some people just don't have a care for it. How would you encourage them? Because like you said, this all should be very linked together.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to link personal evangelism with church evangelism, with global evangelism. So, I mean, missions, usually we think about cross-cultural evangelism. So, you know, we take the gospel to a cultural group that's unlike our own and recognize, you know, some work has to be done to understand the culture, to make the gospel, you know, plain in their culture. So, but I don't see how you can disconnect that ideal from the ideal of sharing the gospel with my neighbor, my brother or sister who may not know Christ, a work colleague, you know, whoever it happens to be that I run into. You know, this it's about every single individual needs to be in the hearing of this glorious news that our Savior came and paid for our sins on his cross, that he rose from the dead and gives us eternal hope, right?
You know, I've had the privilege of knowing you for a very long time.
Yeah, we've hung out a few times.
I love it. I'm so blessed. And I remember a few trips we've done together in the past. And I see how easily you just connect with people. So when we were at going to the master's group last year, we're at an airport, and then you just kind of connect with people. And next thing you know, you're talking about God and having these godly conversations and pointing people to Christ. How would you encourage young people, you know, to be bold and to just connect? Because a lot of people are just intimidated or afraid to talk or afraid to share. How do you navigate that?
You know, in some ways, I think what Lord has given me is just a gift.
Mm.
I know I have an ease of entering into people's lives. I know that I have that. And I don't know what I've actually done to make that happen outside of God has given me to that.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of using my wife as an example, who cares deeply, passionately about the gospel. But if we go to, you know, let's say a gathering where we know no one, right? We're the only people that know each other. And, you know, she feels most uncomfortable with that. Mm. And I feel like I'm in my element, right?
Right, so, okay.
That's a part of it. But then to make the natural connection that one has with people, however that connection is established, some will do it better than others,
mm-hmm.
but then to build that bridge and to say the most important thing that we could ever talk about is, how are you doing spiritually? I mean, do you have any religious background? Where was that? And, you know, when you think about your own death, what do you think about? I mean, do you think there's hope for you? Do you think there's not hope? Do you think about God? Do you think about your Creator? I mean, these things are, you know, the Socratic questioning to find out what's actually in a person's heart. It helps people to, you know, get in connection with what they're thinking about. Sometimes it introduces them to thoughts they've never had before and think, I should be thinking about this.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of good things that we can have when God talk, and then the talk of the gospel and about Christ entering the world, when that becomes normal and natural, you know, that's a huge barrier. But man, I think we can pray for that.
Yeah, we can. I think that's really cool. And I really enjoyed just watching you in your element. It's been really inspiring.
Well, thank you for saying that. But Andrew, I need to say that back to you.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I see you as a much better evangelist than I am, and I think you are.
Oh, wow.
And you know, I mean, you just told me not long ago about your neighbor who came to Christ. You were struggling through an area of your life. He was struggling through the same thing in his life, and so you just began to open up. He opened up, and before long, you led him to the gospel, right? I mean, it's amazing what God does when we're just open to the opportunities.
Right? Praise God, man. God is so good. You mentioned about, you know, the Greeks and just seeing this even before the crucifixion. So I hear this a lot from people where, you know, even where we are in Canada or people who are listening in America, is the same issue that, you know, they're going through, where a lot of people are coming to Canada and, you know, immigration, all that stuff. And people complain, people say a lot of negative things about it, or, you know, all these other cultures are coming. But if we think of it with the perspective of missions and being on missions, I mean, you even asked when you're talking to strangers, do you believe in spirituality? Are you in another religion? Or there's people coming from all sorts of religions. And that's why we even did last year, World Religions Unraveled, where we walked through Buddhism, and we're going to do it again, talking about Sikhism and Islam and different things, so that we could build bridges, because they're at our doorstep. They're in our communities, and we want to love them and point them to Christ well. And so how would you respond when a lot of people complain and speak negatively about all the people flooding Canada, when we can actually maybe change our perspective a little bit and realize, hey, we have a missions opportunity where I don't need to actually go across the world. I could stay right here and do missions.
Maybe two things. And first of all, I want to give that person just a little bit of slack.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, I'm going to say it's not a racist impulse for a lot of people.
For sure.
It's just this... I fear that the Canada that I've known, love, that has been my culture, it's no longer the Canada that's coming forward. It's a very different Canada. We're on the verge of the nation entering a territory where we've never been before. And sometimes when we approach new area, or we feel the sense of loss of what we're losing, and we say, I mean, my goodness, what will this country become? And so lots of worries come up and all sorts of things. So I want to say, first of all, I understand.
Yeah, that's good.
The second thing I want to say is that, however, there's something about the meticulous sovereignty of God. Mm. And, you know, you've mentioned God bringing people here. When Paul is speaking to the Athenian philosophers, he says that God has established the boundaries of people, and he moves them at his will.
Mm.
So at various times, he moves people. Great people movements occur so that people might hear the gospel. So if you look at that and say, well, man, I sure wouldn't vote for a government that brings in this many immigrants. Mm. And go ahead. I mean, you vote for whoever you want to, but I'm going to say, yet they are here.
Mm.
So what are you going to do about that?
Right.
Well, you say, well, they're here by accident. Well, you wouldn't believe that if you thought that God was meticulously sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say that. You know, they're here because God has brought them here.
Mm.
Now, once you get that through your head, you say, oh, if God has brought them here, what am I to do with that? So finally, you get to the place where you say, okay, I'm no longer going to protect my culture. I'm going to actually begin to get the vision of Jesus. You know, Greeks were coming to him,
wow,
and people from all over the world are coming to me. And I'm going to find out, I mean, the stuff that you're doing, talking about, let's find out about the religions that they bring. Tell me about their deepest hopes and their greatest fears, and let's begin to realize that God in his mercy has brought them here. He has established it to be this way, and this could become, and I'm not a prophet, but this could well become, Andrew, the greatest moment for the gospel that this country has ever seen. I think it's very possible.
Wow.
And then if that's the truth, if I should make a choice, Andrew, between preserving a culture that I've known and loved and the greatest advancement of the gospel, I'll say preserving a culture that I've known and loved, let that be as dung, as Paul says in Philippians. May that be dung, nothing but, you know, manure.
Yeah.
I mean, I could use other farm language. You know, I come from a farm. I've been trained in that language. But let that be as nothing.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
It's rubbish. So that in this moment, people who have an openness to Jesus as never before.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Why wouldn't we say, oh, God, thank you for this moment? Yeah.
Wow, what a perspective shift.
It would change, but we have to get the mind of Christ.
Yes.
If we don't have the mind of Christ, and so we're just, you know, grimacing and grinding our teeth and, you know, I mean, who are all these people? And half of them can't drive properly anyway. Yeah. I mean, you don't hear all the things that people say.
Yeah.
And my response is, well, if they don't know how to drive properly, how about you say, are you struggling to drive? You want to drive with me? I'm happy to be your friend through this. And I'll train you how to drive in the Canadian way. And you'll make a friend and maybe you'll get a chance to share the gospel. I mean, just view all of the inconveniences as an opportunity.
Yeah, praise God. So if we believe in meticulous sovereignty, that God brought everyone here, what am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
We can complain and wish the old Canada was the way it was, or we could say, hey, this could be a huge moment in history where lives could be changed.
Now, what it'll bring, you and I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, could it bring chaos? Well, my response is sure it could. Perhaps it could. I pray that it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that it gives this, I pray that all God's people, however, seize this opportunity and just embrace this as given by God.
Praise God.
Oh, man. I mean, so let's begin to pray for, you know, the Muslims, the Sikhs, the Hindus that are coming next door to us.
Yeah.
And even the people, by the way, there are hardcore Muslims, but as you and I both know, there are a ton of kind of in the middle. They don't really know the theology.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have all
very lovely people.
Love. Yeah. Oh, my. Yeah. Hospitality.
Yeah. Through the roof.
Through the roof in a way that we've never known in this country.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all of that stuff tells you, you can get to their home and you can invite them to yours. They'll accept that.
Yeah.
And God talk will be normal to them.
Mm-hmm.
You can even pray with them without having to apologize, right? All that stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So my response is, my goodness gracious, if God is doing this, then Lord, open my eyes to see what I must do in this hour.
Oh, amazing. And you know what? If chaos comes, God allowed it.
Well, then chaos, I mean, if, you know, chaos can come for various reasons, and you and I know that. I mean, chaos can sometimes come because God is punishing a culture.
Mm.
And that's a fact. I mean, cultures come to an end. Every single civilization, great civilizations in history, have had their end point.
Wow.
And I'm going to say that some of the values that have been adopted, not by the immigrants, but by the native-born North Americans, Canada and the U.S., is so opposed to the purposes of God, it may be that the anger of God is kindled against us and he's going to bring us down.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say that I know how it's going to turn out. But if that happens, then I only plead for one thing, that in the midst of the chaos that will come, may there be faithfulness in the midst of it, and may the faithfulness of believers be remembered so that it reaches out to a new generation.
Amen, amen. I do want to remind people who are watching, when we talk about meticulous sovereignty, I just keep thinking of your book because it's a fantastic resource, In All Things.
Yeah.
Indoubt.ca, go to the store and get yourself a copy.
And by the way, I even did a chapter in that book on the fear that people have of immigration.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did, because I know that's very real in people's lives.
Yeah.
And that many people who are, you know, longtime residents of Canada, I mean, I've heard people, I mean, all sorts of things. I mean, there's sly innuendos that are made and so forth. And I've heard all of that. And my response is, I know that comes out of an anxious spirit. I just think Christians ought to have a different spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. And even just the realization, again, like change is hard and people don't know how to navigate change. And so they become anxious and fearful and don't want anything to, that's really good. Last question for us. How could we encourage young people to become active participants in missions work, whether it's locally in their churches and their communities or go on a missions trip or whatever the case be, or even knocking on your neighbor's door? How can we encourage them?
Yeah, probably youth is most prepared for this. Because a youth still is a part, you know, the youthful life is a life of flexibility in which one adapts to new reality much more quickly than when you get older. I mean, I love to tell the story that I entered grade one and I didn't speak English and I can't remember learning English because the young mind just grabs all the details and just incorporates it so fast.
Yeah.
And so if I were to learn a new language now at my age, that's tough, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the reality is, so you have a new cultural reality and youth, and I'm talking about people in their teens, early 20s, I mean, they're going to adapt to this much more quickly. So if you're young and you're sold out to Christ and you're saying, you know, I just want to learn everything I can about the people group that I can learn about so that I might be a witness to them, you're going to be on the leading edge of that.
Wow.
You're young, you're on the leading edge of this dynamism. I mean, I speak to you as an old man, and I speak as an old man who wants to hand the torch to the next generation, say, grab it and run, buddy, because this is going to be a fine moment.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow, praise God. That's so encouraging.
Yep.
And we just got to roll with the punches and just
go for it. God's in control.
God's in control. Yep. Thank you so much for your time today, man. This is so good. And thank you for all of you who are tuning in. This is short and sweet, but just so much value, so much wisdom. Thank you so much for your time. And we hope you have a great day off. If you're watching on Monday, have a great week. We'll see you next Monday for our full episode. God bless you guys.